Blog Talk Radio.
With your hands lifted up, say it like this. Take the limit off.
The day that the Lord hath made, we will rejoice and be glad in it. I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Welcome, welcome to everyone who is joining us in the virtual pews in the services of the Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church. We are so excited that you are here with us, and we believe that the Lord will bless you real good as you come on into the room to the historic Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church, the birthplace of gospel music. We are excited, and we invite you into this space. Do us a favor right now. If you would hit the share button on your Facebook Live page, hit the share button and share this worship service with your family and your friends so that we can collectively gather together and lift the name of our Jesus, of our Savior, right now. Let's join. as we welcome, God, as we open our hearts and our minds to receive what thus saith the Lord this day. Come on, musicians, continue to lead us in worship. Holy Spirit, you are welcome. Come on in, take a seat. Inhabit your grace, God of Zion, Judah Zion. Welcome, come on in, take a seat. Inhabit our praise, God of Zion, Judah Zion. We acknowledge your presence, O Lord, God of mercy. Show your glory as we enter this place. Show us your face, God, please. Give us peace. We acknowledge your presence, O Lord. Hallelujah in this place. Hallelujah in this place. You have joined the Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church online worship experience on Facebook Live. If you have members, family members that don't have Facebook Live, you can tell them they can call in. They can call in and listen to our worship services at 323-870-4375. Again, that's 323-870-4375. Amen. Amen. Let us invoke God's presence in, as we have prayer. Eternal God, our Father, we are grateful to be in your house today and to be able to be in the Facebook pews and listening on the telephone line. We are thankful, O God, that you allowed us to see another day. God, we are asking that you would be in this space, that you would sanctify it wholly as we prepare to worship and praise your magnificent name. God, you allowed us to see another day, and for that, O God, we are glad. So, God, come on into the room. Come on into our hearts. And let us feel your presence right now. Be in the preached word today and in the songs of Zion that we'll go forth this day. And we'll be ever so careful to give you the praise, the honor, and the glory, which is so richly belongs to you. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, we pray. And all of God's people said, amen. Amen. Our scripture reading is taken from the Gospel according to Luke, the 18th chapter, beginning with the 18th verse. There you'll find these words recorded. Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" So Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor your father and your mother." And he said, "All these things I have kept from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. For it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. And those who heard it, who then can be saved? But he said, the things which are impossible with men, but with God. Then Peter said, see, we have left all and followed you. The word of God for the people of God, and all of God's people said, amen. At this time, our music ministry will come and lead us in worship this day.
This is Reverend King. Just want to let you guys know that we are working on the static issue on the radio side. We'll try to get it corrected shortly.
Have your way, God, in our lives
than in this world. And when our journey is over, Lord, when we've done all that we can do, when we've sang our last song and preached our last word and said our last scriptures, God, we ask that you would receive us unto yourself, that you would point our souls to a resting place where we'll be able to give your name the praise, to praise you forever and forever and forever and forever and forever. We'll praise you forever, forever, and ever is our prayer, is our plea in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah in this place. Have your way in this place. Have your way in our lives. Hey, 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 have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord. Have your way, Lord, in this place. Hallelujah. If you believe this, if you are in agreement with this prayer, shout hallelujah. 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 Shout hallelujah. He is worthy. Yeah. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. And amen. Hallelujah in this place. Continue to pray for our sick. Remembering my mother-in-law, Bernetta Pearson, right now. And my father-in-law right now. Amen. Amen. At this time, our music ministry will come and bless us yet again. Stop sometime and ask.
for direction. Fasting and praying, fasting for his protection. Through the storm and rain, heartache and pain. Through the storm and rain, heartache and pain. Through it all, God brought me through.
Experience, we'd like to invite you to participate in this worship experience through giving. This is your opportunity to give, and we know that God has blessed you to be a blessing, and we are asking for you to pray right now and ask the Lord, what should you render to the work and ministry here at Ebenezer Missionary Baptist Church? And as the Lord leads you, We invite you to participate and to give. For we are mindful that the Lord doth love a cheerful giver. And we know that we have because we give. And we give because we have. If you are at home watching, you can text to give. You can dial 312-779-0146 to text to give. Or you can go directly to our website at EbenezerBronzeville.org, link button, or you can do it snail mail by just giving and dropping your check or whatever into the mail at 4501 South Vincennes Avenue, Chicago, Illinois. However you choose to give, just give. We are blessed to be a blessing. Our musicians are going to lead us during this period of giving. Amen.
he flags you down, he'll turn your soul around. Don't let him ride. I said, don't ever drive your car.
Church. I do want to say one thing, and I'm going to say it again at the end. Next Sunday is First Sunday. Next Sunday is First Sunday, and typically in our faith community, it is when we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Next Sunday, First Sunday, if it is good weather, we will be offering communion to those members for drive-by communion. What we're going to ask you to do is to come at 12:15. Between the hour of 12:15 to 12:45 on next Sunday, myself and Minister King will be on the corner or in the parking lot preparing to give you communion. We also will have a couple of our deacons who will be providing direction on next Sunday for drive-by communion at 12:15 next Sunday. We are looking forward to that. We have not done this before, so we pray that you pray for us as we prepare to do drive-by communion next Sunday at 12:15 from 12:15 to 12:45 on next Sunday. But if you are not able to make that and do not want to come for that, you can certainly pick up your communion wafers and juice this week, and we will still be doing communion online as well. So we invite you to join us for that. At this time, we are so privileged and pleased to have the next speaking voice. You will be here. You will hear will be that of Minister Dr. Dana King, who will bring the preached word after the sermonic selection. Amen. Thank you.
my. Come on, somebody somewhere says, He knows my name. Anybody glad he know your name? Somebody somewhere ought to just be glad that he knows. And when he tells you that he loves you, y'all know we could just stay here. Wherever you are, just give him a hand clap of praise. Wherever you are, I don't care if you're sitting in your living room, if you're sitting in the bedroom, wherever you are, just go ahead and give him the chorus all on his way. Just worship him wherever you are. Make your house the sanctuary. Make your living room the worship place. Where if you're sitting in your car into a sanctuary, just let him know that he knows your name. Let's pray. Father God, we just thank you for the time. Lord God, we thank you for this opportunity. God, now move me out of the way, God. Let them see you and not me, God. Let the words from my mouth and the meditation from my heart be acceptable right now, God, in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Our scripture text was already read. Coming from the 18th chapter of Luke. My God. Thank you. Thank you. What a worship. Coming from the 18th chapter of Luke, starting at the 18th verse,
King James, and it says, a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good, save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor thy mother and thy father. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up to now. 22 says, now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Set all that thou hast and distribute unto the poor, that thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and then come and follow me. 23 says, and when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And when they heard it, said, who then can be saved? Verse 27 says, and he said, the things which are impossible with men are impossible with men are possible with God. You may have your seat. I'm still glad he knows my name. I'm still glad he knows my name. My God, musicians, don't go too far, because this could turn real quick. So this could get real different real quick. If we could give this a title today, I would simply just call it, simply say, in him, nothing is impossible. In him. Well, wherever you are, just look at your neighbor. I don't care if it's you and the dog or you and the kids, whoever it is. Just look at them and just say, in him, nothing is impossible. This story in our text is taking us through this long and gives us some detailed information about this young man we just called, or we just know him as the rich young ruler. Y'all know who he is. He's been described in three of the what I like to call the synoptic gospels. The synoptic gospels, I ain't trying to talk over your head. The synoptic gospels simply mean that they all tell a very similar story using very similar language. John is not called one of the synoptic gospels because John speaks in very distinct phrases. But this Luke, this story is mentioned by all three writers. Matthew describes him as a young man. Luke calls him a ruler, and all three agree on this one thing, that he is amazingly rich. Yeah. His encounter with Jesus has been discussed and debated throughout seminary halls, throughout higher learning of theological institutes. That people have gotten into huge disagreements and arguments just trying to understand what really happened when the rich young ruler came in contact with Jesus. This young ruler is quite arguably one of the few men to ever come into the presence of Jesus and leave in worse condition than when he showed up. Of giving some serious study to the elements of this man and his tragic talk with Jesus, I begin to try to build a bridge between his ancient world and our contemporary world. Perhaps if you bear with me in an exegetical and hermeneutical analysis, I found there to be some profound truth that this man was looking for something. If we could do something today, my goal is to help men living in this time, men and women living in this time, to find a place where they can be saved, satisfied, and successful. But when I was looking at the text, I was looking for something in the text to inform me and inspire me to view life not from the impossible, but from the possible. I was searching for something to connect and register with you, not just on a level to make you feel good, but on a faith level. You see, church,
even in this time of pandemic that we're going through right now, one thing was going on prior to, and it seems like it's just gotten worse, that there is something going on where our men and women of minority and of color are being cast aside and pushed aside. And church, if we be honest for a few moments, there's nothing more devastating to a society than a community that has men full of hopelessness. Men walking around aimless, men walking around who feel like they're being destroyed. Can I go back to the past for a moment? You do remember when Pharaoh wanted to extend his tyranny of bondage over Israel and increase his subjection, he issued an order to kill all of the male children. Can we talk about 2020? It feels like Pharaoh is somewhere, sitting somewhere, and see, the order is not being spoken, but it feels like the order is being given to kill all of the children that look like you and me, where men, especially men, and now even women, are becoming targets. Yeah. Therefore, in order to reach them, we must go beyond the flesh, and we must tap into their heart and into their spirit. In order to achieve or obtain the impossible, the spirit of God must meet the spirit of man. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 14. He says, "But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. But God hath revealed them unto by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what a man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of a man which is in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man. But the Spirit of God now we have received, not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us by God. Which things also we speak not in the words which man's wisdom teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them because," watch this, "because they are spiritually discerned." In this rich young ruler, the spirit man, for the first time meets with the Spirit of God, but he walks away because he cannot discern the possible. He can only see what appears to be impossible. Yeah. He can only see what appears to be impossible. We have our job, pastor, preachers and ministry leaders and praise and worship leaders and psalmists and all of those people. Our job is the ministry of reconciliation. That's our first job. The ministry of reconciliation, which means we have a destiny to arrange the meeting between spirit man and the Spirit of God. That's why praise and worship is so important. Because, see, praise and worship introduces the flesh to the spirit. And that's why it's so important that we make sure that when we're praising and we're worshiping, it's not about me and it's not about you, it's about him. Because, see, when spirit meets flesh and when spirit man meets physical man, there is a manifestation that happens. We tapped, and a lot of times when you're not used to being in his presence, it throws you off. You don't really know what to do. It kind of messes with your head because you say, wait a minute, what's happening in here? It's different. So see, our job is to make sure that we do this this thing that makes sure that the spirit man is meeting the flesh. To do this thing where the finite meets the infinite, where the created meets the creator, where the condemned meets the comforter, where the sinful meet the sinless, where the wounded comes in contact with the healer, where the shattered meets the savior, the defeated meets the deliverer, and the judge meets the judge. You see, when God's spirit connects with man's spirit, he can begin to understand the things that are freely given to him of God. When man's spirit meets God's spirit, he can finally see
the impossible. He can do that. He can see what eyes had not seen now. He can hear what ears could not hear now. He can perceive the things that have not entered into the heart of man. He can now experience the things of God. He can begin to understand the deep things. You see, when you meet a man whose spirit has connected to God, there is this born again effect. Yeah. Paul put it this way in 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, I got a few Bible readers somewhere around here. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are. Behold, all things become, and he's a new creation. I knew I had one or two in the room. Stay with me. Colossians 3:5-9 says, I'm just paraphrasing, he is a new man, and he is putting off fornication and uncleanness and inordinate affections, covetousness, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication, lying, for all things have passed away, and a new man is born. Now, just for the record, he may still look the same in his outward appearance. You know, he's still going to need his glasses because, you know, he's still a man. Yeah. He still might be balding. He still might be going a little gray. He still might be a little skinny, or he still may be a little thick around the middle. But on the inside, his spirit has become a new man. You see, because on the inside, his lust has been replaced with love. His perversion has been replaced with peace. His greed has been replaced with gentleness. His guilt has been replaced with goodness. Even his fraudulence has been replaced by faith. His treachery has been replaced with temperance. When man meets spirit. But like most men, the rich young ruler is seeking confirmation rather than conversion. Yeah, confirmation rather than conversion. See, he needs to belong. He needs to be accepted. He is after verification from Jesus that his person is acceptable to God. His objective has nothing to do with conversion. Yeah. However, see, when a man has a true spiritual encounter with the Lord and Savior, not only does he receive confirmation, but conversion is also the intended direct result of the meeting. I have to ask this question. How many folks are coming to church for confirmation rather than conversion? You know, because sometimes we just want to be approved. Sometimes we just want to pat on the back. Sometimes we just want somebody to say, good job. But see, that ain't your purpose for coming. We ought to come because we've been converted. We ought to stay because we want to see others converted. Our goal, our mission should be to push others towards conversion. About this rich young ruler, I found about 3 or 4 different things that stood out for me, because if you look at the surface of the rich young ruler, he was a pretty good dude. The first thing I noticed was this: he was very impressive. He was very impressive. If you looked at his on paper, his resume looked really good. He had a really good resume. Watch this. Luke 18:18-21 says, I'm just walking through the scripture. It says, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, all these have I kept from my youth up, which means from a child. He was doing everything right. See, he has impressive of credentials. He's a ruler. In the Greek, the word ruler comes out as archon. An archon is one who has a prominent position or great authority. It refers to all kinds of Greek, Jewish, or Roman leaders. And undoubtedly, the Bible tells us, because they call him ruler, that there are people who report to him. He's obviously a big deal. He's got authority to direct and influence others. But watch this. In spite of his power in regards to men, his power is useless when it comes to his relationship with God. Let me help you. Zerubbabel in Zechariah 4:6 said this. He said, it's not by might
nor by power, but by my, come on somebody, spirit, said the Lord of hosts. So see, it's not about what the paper says. It's not about what you're wearing. It's about what's down on the inside. Yeah. See, he was very rich. He had great possessions. He was a man with tremendous wealth, but he was not satisfied with just being a rich young ruler. Paul said, for we brought nothing into this world, and we carry nothing out. Huh? Huh? Jeremiah said, don't let the rich man glory in his riches. In Proverbs, it says, riches profit not in the day of wrath, but righteousness delivers from death. This ruler, he was young, and he apparently had achieved a success at a very young age. He was a virulent guy. He was a strong guy. He had many good days ahead because, you know, the Bible says when you do good when you're young, it says, remember now thy creator in the days of thy youth. While the evil days come not, nor the years draw nigh, when thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. But looking at his conversation with Jesus, we found out that this rich young ruler was a moral man. According to him, according to his conversation with Jesus, he never took another man's wife to bed. He never put another man to death. He never took anything that did not belong to him. He never bore false witness. He never defrauded or cheated anyone. He was always honoring his mother and his father. He was not the type of guy to be hanging out in the streets or mistreating anyone. He did not have a foul mouth. He was not a drunkard. He was not a gambler. He wasn't even a club hopper. He was a really good guy. But his morality is impressive. However, Jesus was not looking for a prerequisite. No. See, in many cases, morality may initially be missing, but after man's spirit meets God's spirit, it is a product of that meeting. Morality becomes a byproduct. The other thing about this rich young ruler, if we could just bring it to current times, he went to church. He went to church. He was a religious man. He was adherent to all of the Jewish traditions. He attended the synagogue. He kept the Jewish feast. And watch this. It doesn't get any better than this. If this was a guy walking in the church right now, he would be the catch of the century. Because on paper, he checked all the boxes. On paper, he fit all the bill. He was rich. Had a good job. Strapping looking, good looking young gentleman and all that good stuff. And he went to church. Ain't that what they tell you to look for? Go find you a good church boy, you know. Yeah. He fit all of that, right? Also, he was religious, meaning he went to church. But watch this. Religion did not save him. Going to church does not save you. James 1:26 says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridle not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is in vain. That's scripture. This young ruler, he's sincere. He means well. He really wants to inherit eternal life. He ain't trying to trick Jesus with his question. He's not trying to entrap Jesus. He's very sincere. But sincerity does not save. Come on now. Sincerity achieves nothing if one is not willing to trust and obey the word of God. The second thing about this rich young ruler, I like this one because he asked the right questions. Oh, yeah, he asked the right questions. Mark 10 tells the same story. He says, and when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? You see, Ebenezer, he came to the right person and he asked the right question. Can I borrow a line from Pastor Person? Let me put a pin in that for a moment. You see, it's one thing to go to the right person and ask the right question, but it's another thing to go to ask the right question. So see, a lot of times, this is how church mess gets started. I feel I need to say it. This is how church stuff gets started. Because if I got a question about something going on in the church and something going on with the building or something like that, I ain't going to go ask the usher.
ask somebody. Now she gonna turn around and go ask another person who happens to be the wrong person. And before you know it, you got a whole bunch of folks asking the right question to the wrong people. But in this case, this guy, he asked the right person, the right question, but he made the wrong decision. Yeah, see, he came to Jesus and he asked what he needed to do to inherit eternal life. And he must, now we got to give him credit, because he apparently didn't take it upon himself to either assume or presume that he had all the answers. Peter said to the Lord on one occasion, "Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." Jesus has the word of eternal life. But Jesus said this in John 12:46-48, "I am come a light into a dark world to not abide in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge the world, but to save the world. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judged him. The word that I have spoken in the same shall judge him in the last day." It's just like this, Ebenezer. If you want to know about something, you should go to the right people. If you got a question about something, you ought to find the right people. I know if I had access to it, right? If I wanted to know about sports, let me see. Maybe I would call Stephen A. Smith if I had a question about sports. If I had wanted to know something about boxing, maybe I would call Floyd Mayweather or Iron Mike Tyson. If I had a question about sociology, maybe I would call Dr. Cornel West or Dr. Eric Dyson. If I had a question about comedy and education, he's a little bit indisposed right now, but I would love to call Dr. Bill Cosby. I'm sorry, I tried to put somebody else's, but I couldn't get. Yeah. If I wanted to know about acting, I would call maybe Denzel Washington or even Morgan Freeman. But if I wanted to know about eternal life, I just would talk to Jesus. Notice what the man said here. He referred to Jesus as good master. Now, Jews didn't call anybody good except the Lord of God. Come on now, the Lord God. See, now, it is yet to be really revealed if this rich young ruler really believes that Jesus is good, or is he just using the term good as a cliche? That a lot. You know, people can introduce the right Reverend so-and-so. Uh-huh. You know, that's how they don't mean they right. It's just a cliche. But see, the Bible gives us plenty of information to tell us without a doubt, without question, that God is good. And see, when I say stuff that the Bible says, I like to give you some information, a testimonial, some proof, some evidence. Psalm 106:1 says, "Praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord." Why? For he is. Come on now. "For his mercy endureth forever." Psalm 86:5. You act like you still don't believe me. Psalm 86:5 says, "For thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee." You need a little more. Psalm 34:8 says, "O taste and see," that the Lord is. Come on, "and blessed is the man that trusted in him." I got one more. Psalm 25:8. "Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way." So we learned a couple things so far about the ruler. We learned that he was impressive. We learned that he asked the right questions. But I also learned that he is somewhat incomplete. Yeah. The rich young ruler is incomplete. 18:22 says, "Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, Yet lackest thou," focused on that part too. He said, "Yet thou lackest one thing." Then he tells me, he says, "Sell all that you have, distribute it to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven." And then he gave him the command, "Come, follow me." And then when Jesus heard the rich young ruler say that he kept up all these laws from his youth, in Mark 10:21 says, "Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. So see, therefore, when we see Jesus tell him to sell everything and distribute it to the poor, that he will have treasures in heaven, he's speaking this out of love. Now, this is not a universal command. Jesus is trying to teach the rich young ruler about his incompleteness. If we can pause for a moment, I don't know about you, Pastor, but when I was in seminary and as a young preacher, I was always told when they put these people in the Bible and they don't give them a name, you should insert yours. Put yourself in this place. You all have heard the story of the woman with the issue of blood and all that she went through. Put your name in her place. You might not have an issue of blood, but you do have some issues. Put yourself in the place of the rich young ruler, because they didn't give him a name. So I put my own name there, because as I did it, I started to feel a little convicted. That's why you should use your own name. Put your name in the place when they use all these different people. Jesus told him, he says, thou lackest one thing. He said, yeah, you got some impressive credentials. Yes, your resume is amazing. You're rich. You're young. You're a ruler. You're moral. You're religious. You're sincere. But you're still missing one thing. He had a whole lot of form, but he had no function. Yeah. He had intention, but he had no application. He had principle, but he fell short in the practice. Yeah, he was guilty not of commission, but of omission. Yeah. See, Jesus said these words to the Pharisees, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, for you pay tithes of mint and of anise and cumin and have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done and not to leave them under undone. That's Matthew 23:23. I find it interesting, though, that Jesus does not mention the law of covetousness when he's addressing the young ruler. Problem for the rich young ruler. He did not use his blessings to be a blessing to others. He's guilty of not loving his neighbor as himself. Yeah. Instead of calling him covetous, Jesus asked him to do something that reveals what was really in his heart. Watch this. Jesus gave him three actions, but only one command. Sell everything, distribute it to the poor, come follow me. Three actions, but one was a command. See, the objective is for this man to follow Jesus. But he can't follow Jesus unless he's willing to repent. Oh, God, that's going to help somebody. He can't follow Jesus unless he's willing to lay aside every weight and sin that doth so easily beset him. In the midst of Jesus giving the command, I found this one thing. In the midst of the command, there is a promise. If he lets go of all of these earthly treasures, he will have the same treasures or even greater treasures in heaven. But then I read a little more and I found out not only was he had an issue with coveting some things, I found out that the rich ruler was he worshipped idols. His idol was money. 18:23 says, and when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. He loved his wealth more than he loved God or his neighbor. But Matthew 6:19-21 says, lay up not for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust nor doth corrupt, where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. This rich young ruler, instead of trusting in the living God, this man was trusting in his uncertain riches. Gold became his God. Silver was his savior. And money was his master. The Lord used what we call in the literary world a hyperbole.
Yeah. When he said, can we get, it's going to be harder for a rich man to get, it will be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to get to heaven. Now, I remember as a young kid, I read this scripture and I thought to myself, that's impossible. You know, like wait a minute, because I struggle trying to put the thread. Yep, look, y'all don't want to see me trying to sew a button on a shirt. It's a hard thing to do. But trying to put the thread through that, so just in my brain, I honestly thought, well, that means no rich person will ever get to heaven. But that's not what it meant. Let me help you out. You do know that there is a place in Palestine that they literally call the Eye of the Needle. And in this place, it was an opening to get in. And what had to happen was this. Normally, when people traveled, they had everything with them packed on the side and on the back of the camel, because the camel was how they transported everything. So everything was on the camel. But when you get to the eye of the needle, you got to take off everything to get through. It hit me different then. I was a little older. I had a little bit more sense. And it hit me then. I said, now I understand. So the Lord used this hyperbole, this deliberate exaggeration. He used it for an effect. Jesus uses this, the largest animal in Palestine, in the smallest place in Palestine. This to you and I would sound impossible to happen. And the rich man, instead of him listening and learning from what Jesus was trying to tell him, all of a sudden a sadness came over him. He couldn't get past what Jesus had just said. As I get ready to take my seat, go back to Luke 18, 26 and 30. He says, and they that heard it said, now here's you go to folks on the side. They that heard it said, who then can be saved? And he said, the things which are impossible with men are possible with God. Then Peter, y'all know Peter. Peter always had something to say. Peter said, Lord, we left all that we had and we followed thee. And he said unto them, verily, I say unto you, there is no man that had left the house or parents or brethren or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake, who shall not receive manifold more in this present time and in the world to come, life everlasting. But they said, well, if he can't be saved, he who kept all the commandments and he who did everything right, then what's going to happen to us? But I like this. See, rich folks, there was a thought and a belief that being rich was a sign of God's acceptance. Yeah. They thought it was a sign of God's acceptance. In other words, if this man who was found to be in God's favor in the sense of wealth can't be saved, then according to this, nobody can be saved. If this rich young ruler who is moral, religious, and sincere can't be saved, then certainly in my eyesight, in my thinking, in my hearing, then nobody can be saved. But if we think about it a little bit, he could have been saved, but he couldn't be saved in the condition he was in. See, he wanted confirmation rather than conversion. But see, when a man is converted, he will receive confirmation. You see, there are some things which are impossible with men, but with God, all things are possible. Peter said, Lord, we can't say that we are rich or young or rulers. We can't say we have kept the law of our youth up, but we have left all we had to follow you. We left our homes, we left our children, we left our parents and all of those things. But Jesus said, you shall not be forgotten for what you did because you obeyed. Then he says, you will receive a manifold more blessing. Watch this. In this present time. See, the rich young ruler didn't stick around. Yeah, see, he gave up too quick. See, one of y'all gonna get that later. He gave up too quick because he automatically saw what Jesus said as impossible because he was rich. Now take my name out from rich young ruler. Take your name out from rich young ruler. Imagine Jesus having this conversation with y'all's president. I don't hear nobody. Well, he didn't meet the other aspects, the moral, okay, never mind. Moving on. But see, in order, watch this, in order to go up,
You first must be willing to give up. Yeah. You must be willing to give up anything standing between you and your Lord and Savior. See, if you do your part, church, if you do your part, God is going to do his part. Yeah. If you surrender, God will save you. If you call on God, he will answer. If you repent, God will forgive. If you trust and obey, God will bless. If you confess him, he will confess you. If you trust him, he will trust you. If you honor him, he will help you. In him, nothing is impossible. Last scripture, Jeremiah 32 and 17 says, Lord God, behold, thou hast made the heaven and the earth by thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for thee. I know this same God who can rebuild and fix anything. See, this God we serve, he can rebuild ruins. He can reconcile enemies. He can compound your courage. He can detour your disaster. He can overturn bad decisions. He can overrule horrible outcomes. He can pacify those pains that seem to never want to go away. He can heal a hurt heart that's been broken. He can obtain the unobtainable. He can move the unmovable. He can he can even do the incredible. He can do the unthinkable. He can do and bear the unbearable. He can recognize the unrecognizable. He can even accomplish the unbelievable. This man called Jesus, he can conceive the inconceivable. He can do the impossible. In him, nothing is impossible. The word of God is blessed. The word of God is blessed. In him, nothing is impossible. There is a song, and I think y'all might know it. I ain't finna try to sing it, trust me. But it's simply called Faith. To see the unseeable, faith to move the unmovable. It just kind of goes right in there somewhere. If y'all can just... yeah, hit a little bit of that. Yeah, and Mary, play it, baby. Yeah, lean into it. Yeah. The door of the church is open. If you believe he can do the impossible, if you believe that your situation, no matter how bad it looks, that's it. If you believe it, this is your opportunity to come. Wherever you are, if you're sitting in your living room and you don't know God for the pardon of your sin and the pardon of your sin, you can still be accepted right now in the Lord's church. Yeah. This is your opportunity. The door of the church is open. Yeah. Anything. Yeah. This is your opportunity. Don't let this day go by. Don't walk away like the rich young ruler. Stay in the race. Stay in the fight. Know that he's with you. Know that he can even do the impossible. Yeah. Wherever you are, just lift your hands if you believe that. If you have that kind of faith, just lift your hands. If you got that kind of faith, just lift your hands. My. If you believe he can move the unmovable, huh? If you believe he can reach the unreachable, if you believe that in your spirit, somebody ought to holler, faith! Thank you.
Come on, let that resonate down on the inside. Just let that, come on. Don't sit on it. Just let it out. It's in there. Come on. Hallelujah. See, when you, this is, I want to say this publicly, because I feel like I should. There is a, when God moves, when worship happens, When you're not worried about the order in which the service is gonna go, when you ain't worried about this breaking and that breaking, when you can just sit back and do that, and when you ain't trying to find out what key this is and all that, sometimes if you just use that thing that's down on the inside, if you use the faith that God has planted on the inside, it will conquer anything. I want to say this. I appreciate our music ministry. I want to make sure I say that on the record. I appreciate our music ministry. I know that it has been a struggle. I know it ain't easy. Trust me, I know it ain't easy. And if we continue to work with that faith that can conquer anything... My God, bless you. Thank you, Everett. Thank you, Mark. Thank you, Mary. Thank you, Eric. Thank you, Susan. Thank you, young lady. Thank you. I missed all that, but thank you. we're about to get ready to go. Before we go, don't forget next week, Sunday, you'll get directions on exactly how we're going to do it on the calling post, and on Wednesday night, we'll have it figured out by then. But we'll be doing our drive-by communion, so be ready for that. I think that's going to be an awesome time. We're probably going to scare some people over here in the Bronzeville area, but that's not a bad thing. So we're going to be outside at 12:15-ish. 12:15, we'll be out. Which means he ain't going to preach as long as I did today. Amen. Amen. If there is nothing else, thank you all for your prayers. As I told them on the Bible study line on Sunday, and you all have been praying for my family. A great deal, a large amount of my family was affected 2 weeks ago by COVID.
I hadn't been around them, but they were affected, and I was a little afraid for my mom because she did drop some food off, but her test came back negative for the COVID. And as a mama's boy, her only children, as I like to say, she was my first concern. So, you know, I love all my family, but I was worried about my mama. So let me make sure I say that publicly. Thank you all for your prayers. If there is nothing else, you can join us on Wednesday for Bible study. Prayer starts at 6:15, and Bible study starts promptly at 6:30. And what? Oh, and we're going to finish up our lesson. Thank you. I'm like, huh? All right. If there's nothing else, let's give the benediction. Come on, y'all. Play something. Come on. Come on. Oh, my God. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you right now, God. We thank you for all that you did on today, God. God, we pray right now that the songs that were sung, that the word that was preached, God, would touch the heart of someone who would then redirect them back to you, God. Now unto him who's able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the throne with exceeding joy. To the only wise, God, be joy, dominion, majesty, and power now and forever. And the church said...
Behind the curtain. Behind the curtain. It's right there. You can't, yeah, I moved it from where it was. It's right there. And the signal is fine. It's right, that's where the hospital, so it's one in here. I don't know, today was just, yeah. The sound was fine. Yeah. But that's Comcast equipment, so I can, yeah. That's theirs. Yeah, that's not ours. Yeah. No, I'm just saying that's their router. That's their hotspot. Possibly. That's what I'm at. You mean a booster? Like a booster? Yeah. Hear us? Oh, the sound, because you know it's in the broadcast. It's in the broadcast. Yeah, I'll do it. I forgot. I got it. It's done.